Oh, heck, it's Thursday. Film day, or rather no film day, at my school, near one of Beirut's lush parks. I get there by communal taxi, a black or sienna red Mercedes, orb-shaped headlights flashing, the dashboard garnished with multicoloured prayer beads, rosaries should the Lebanese driver be Maronite, its horn bellowing along with all its cousins, forming a truly urban orchestra on the move. For my few piastres, I'm whisked along the boulevards to a three-story mock Venetian palace, manned by black-gowned Italo-American Salesian brothers. Solemn and pious, they are uniformly strict, as if all spontaneity had been drained away in their efforts to resist the temptations of the Levant. My left-handed hieroglyphics mark me out to the brothers as a challenging subversive. Brother Giorgio bars me from the Thursday afternoon film show, otherwise a weekly treat. Instead, I must remain in the classroom and attempt a perfect script, a punishment designed to cure my condition. He lectures me that the Romans, who once ruled this land, coined a name for my ilk, Sinister. I never get to watch the Thursday film. After school, another few piastres for the communal Mercedes, and I am home. In the flash it takes to change and to greet, if confronted, one of the bevy of earnest, beautifully clad and beautifully mannered Japanese wives who learn English from my mother, I am gone. The wives stare with politely masked disbelief as I retreat unceremoniously. Below the corniche, which lines the cliff top above the Mediterranean, I commandeer a flat-bottomed board and paddle along the indented coastline, where fishermen stand on salt-dashed rocks, their long bamboo rods hovering low over the water. Two giant teeth of sandstone, the Pigeon's Rock, rise from the sea. A huge cavity has forced a gap in one of these molars, through which I thread my way, more ignorant of peril than fearless. Two English brothers who live nearby are my closest friends. They are both snub-nosed and freckled, while I am their unspeckled pal, who keeps the peace. Their mother, a kind blonde belle from Surbiton in Surrey, is awkward in this city of swish boulevards, where elaborately gowned sheikhs rub shoulders with suave Westerners. My pals and I, the three musketeers, roam the scrubland behind the fringe of apartment blocks, seeking action. A stray dog joins our outfit as a mascot. One day, he succumbs to a frenzy and expires. After the concierge reports the incident, the city authorities act promptly and we are rounded up, putting an end to our forays. My father, a peacekeeper, is summoned back from his base in Gaza, almost 400 kilometres away. Our penalty for consorting with the mongrel is a precautionary treatment for rabies. This consists of a dozen injections into the lower abdomen, each one administered at weekly intervals using a viciously long needle. At the final session in the surgery, after the contents of the phial containing the precious serum have been exhausted, my parents solemnly prompt me to thank our Lebanese doctor for saving my life. So absorbed am I in this jingle-jangle world that I have only the merest grasp of the danger from which I have been delivered. A white Russian couple, whose families had escaped from the Bolsheviks after the revolution, are my mother's unofficial minders while my father is away. They live with an enormous, overfed white rabbit, which has the freedom of their apartment. The couple bicker constantly in Russian, and the Baroness bursts into tears at the slightest provocation. The Baron, who works for an aid organization for Russian emigres, owns a black, fin-tailed Buick driven by his Lebanese bodyguard, who is virtually a member of the family. At weekends, the bodyguard takes us all to the biblical-age towns of Tyre and Sidon, on snorkeling expeditions to underwater Roman ruins off the coast, or high up into the cedar forests in the north. He carries a pistol tucked into his waistline. I'm fascinated by the weapon. None of the other adults need a protector. Overheard mutterings suggest that the Baron's organization is a mask for something very different. The Baron and my father are close friends and share an Arabian stallion named Habib El Arab. Occasionally, when he is at home, the three of us set off in the early morning to the stables in the red-earthed, pine-fringed plain on the edge of the city, where they take turns to ride the stallion, while I follow on a placid nag. The balcony of our apartment is L-shaped, allowing me to observe the goings-on in the neighbourhood. Below us lives a Lebanese farmer and his family, his yard shaded by vines. By day, he tills the red earth, his plough pulled by two oxen, right up to our boundary wall. After dark, I look up to the rooftop apartment on the adjoining block, whose Latin American occupants party ceaselessly. Girlish giggles and the clinking of glasses give way, as the night progresses, to the loud beat of salsa music, strung through with the shrieks of the girls. Early one morning, I am awakened by the sound of women keening. I look down to see black-clad mourners arriving at the farm and realize that our neighbor, the farmer, a husband and father, has died. The funeral rites last for days and days. Were the revelers ever to peer down, or the mourners to raise their eyes, they would see, on the balcony, the figure of a boy grappling with experience.